entertaining the idea of extending the hours to 10 p.m. The lights are on, people are there, and you know, it certainly is not a noise issue because you have a, it's under an interstate.
Yeah, the skaters are less noisy than the cars, so that's not an issue. The question of what should the hours be at the skate park continues to vex a little bit because, you know, it's a good problem to have. People want to use the skate park, and we got the lights on to prevent, you know, bad behavior, vandalism, that kind of stuff. But if you have the lights on, people want to use the park, they're going to use the park, even if the little sign says, please don't. you know, so what do you do about all that? Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning. So I'm kind of curious how, if you can quantify for me or give me some kind of a characterization of, has the skate park created problems, had many calls out there, many incidents, or has it basically been, you know, quiet and calm sitting across your front porch?
I'm going to have to go with the quiet and calm. If there's been any problems, they have not been relayed to me, which is a great thing. And there may be some minor issues with parking and things like that. But so far, so good with it. We're just glad to have it. And we've got a place for the folks to go to ride skateboards in the proper place. And I know, you know, in the past, we've had business owners downtown all hours of day and night call us and say there's skateboarders on my property. They're causing criminal mischief. They're scraping up rails and things like that. And we're not having those issues right now.
Oh, so it really has improved public safety downtown because you're not getting problems at the skate park and you're not getting problems at the places where you used to get them, where the skaters were when they didn't have a skate park.
Yeah, so far it's a win-win.
Oh, well, hey, that's fantastic news. All right, 24 hours access it is. I mean, I know you're not advocating, but, like, you know, I can see that value. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is you had a I guess it wasn't your case in the end. It turned out to be an FHP case in the end of it, but there was a pursuit this last week, and the person driving the car wound up crashing into a building. I forget what the street was they were on or where they were, but can you tell us the kind of, you know, what happened? And we'll talk a little bit about chase policy because I know people don't understand this all that well.
Well, earlier in the week, a Mustang was taken by gunpoint, a carjacking at the Whataburger on Gregory Street, and we are not.
And that was Friday, right? When the carjacking took place, it was Friday?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Okay.
And so on Sunday, the vehicle was spotted on Pace Boulevard. The officer attempted to stop it, and it fled from the officer. And, you know, we have cars flee from us almost on a daily basis. And if it's something, for, you know, traffic related, like running a stop sign or something like that, then we're not going to pursue that vehicle. It's a moving violation. And we're not going to do that. But when you're talking about a forcible felony, that's going to change everything, because if a person will take a car at gunpoint once, they're certainly able to do it again, especially when they know that car is now hot, meaning that the officers know that it's stolen, they're looking for it, so they dump it. And who's to say they might not use that gun on the next carjacking? So that's somebody that's very dangerous, and we need to remove them you know, as quickly as possible. We need to make that arrest.
Do you perceive that the criminals have adapted to the more widely disseminated policy that you don't chase them, and that they're fleeing more because they believe you won't chase them? Because when I was, you know, younger, I guess, you know, the perception was that cops will chase you and they will always, you know, and so there was no advantage to running as a way of using the police's rules against them. Nowadays, I understand why a criminal who pays a little bit of attention to a news show might, you know, hear that, well, you know, they're not going to chase you for minor things, and so they use that as a way to get away. Do you perceive that that has become a problem, that they flee more often because of that?
I believe that's part of the problem, but they need to be careful with that. A lot of things go into consideration when we decide to chase or not chase, and a lot of it is time of day, weather conditions, traffic. So they may have an officer stick with them a little bit longer than they bargained for sometimes. So we have seen an increase since that policy came into effect, but it's all about public safety. That's what we're out there to do, is protect property and people, and it's just not worth it most of the time on these pursuits.
And the basic risk calculation there is, okay, we need to enforce the law, but by chasing, we create a public safety hazard, which can wind up in pedestrians or collisions or whatever. And so unless it's for a forcible felony or some situation where we really believe that somebody's, you know, life or limb is in danger already, then that's why we decline to chase, right?
Absolutely. And you know, this we also have to think about the life of the officer, too. So there's a number of things that go into it. And this is a decision, you know, whether to pursue or not to pursue, that has to be made in a matter of seconds. And that's made by the officer and the officer supervisor.
Well, and I mean, frankly, like, even though Pace is a wide open road, it's sort of, you know, two lanes and a turn lane and bike lanes and all that, it's also a road where you have a lot of pedestrians. And so I'm imagining that, you know, some roadways are more dangerous to chase on than others, even though they're geared toward racing, so to speak. They're, you know, big and wide open, but there is more likely to be, like Cervantes, there's more likely to be pedestrians even so. And so I can understand where that comes into it. Mike, hang on for just a second. I had one other case I wanted to get to with you. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we see a structure fire. This looks like just near Osceola Park off Mobile Highway. He's caution there. Watch for emergency crews. Michigan and Memphis showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. 90 in Woodbine. The accident's been cleared. Traffic's moving, but heavy debris in the roadway, so use caution. And I-110 southbound, mile marker 4. That's the Fairfield exit, showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock. If you have traffic tips, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Since that Woodbine and 90 accident involved a spilled, you know, spilled wine bottles out the back of a truck, would we say that they're done with the mopping up phase now?
Nice.
Back to Mike Wood, our public information officer for PPD. We got an object lesson this week in why the now completed second span of the 3 mile bridge is valuable, right?
Yeah, that bridge is a blessing now. I mean, we were able to work that crash scene and clean it up and still had two lanes of traffic flowing. So the old bridge, we would have had to close it. A lot of times we have to close the side that has the crash on it and the other side on the old bridge so emergency vehicles could get there. And this new bridge has shown already that we're able to keep traffic flowing most of the time. Now, that may not be so if we have a pre-fatal or fatal crash we have to work. We may have to close one side, but it was much nicer to do and to be able to keep traffic flowing a couple of days ago.
Do we have, if there is a situation where it's so bad that you have to actually close the one side, do we have the ability? I assume the answer is no, okay? But do we have the ability to resume temporary two-directional traffic on one span? I assume the answer is no, but you tell me. Is that possible?
Yeah, that would take a lot. That would take a lot of barrels and cones and people coming out. So I don't foresee that happening unless it's going to be closed for a very, very long time. And the way that the scenes are worked, the pre-fatals and fatals are, you know, it's going to be closed, but it's not as long as it used to be. They're able to get those scenes processed and cleaned up pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's what I figured based on the restriping and the, you know, all of the safety issues and just the crossover at the entrance to the bridge and all that. But I just wanted to be sure I wasn't thinking about that the wrong way. You and I always like to kind of end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
I do, and it's, you, how many times have we heard, and everybody's heard, there's never a cop around when you want one? Well, overnight, there was, and Officer Abigail Abed was patrolling in the area of M and Gadsden last night when she heard some screaming, and she was approached by a person that said that there was a sexual assault in progress. She was able to quickly locate the female victim who was partially clothed, and she put her canine on the ground, Canine Jones, and was able to locate the suspect hiding behind a vehicle not too far away. So he was quickly taken into custody, and the female's going to be okay. So that's, you know, it's kind of rare for something like that to happen, but she was in the right place at the right time. So great news from last night. Great job on her and the entire shift.
Wow. Wow, that's horrible and fantastic. I mean, that's, man, that's wow, that's just, I'm speechless. That's amazing. You guys also have this morning coming up at 8:30, you're going to have the memorial service for fallen officers.
Yes, it's at 8:30. We urge people to come out. We're glad to see those that do every year, the families that come out every year to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, and that begins at, here very shortly at 8:30.
And also, just a note that because of that ceremony, which always ends with the honor guard shooting off their shotgun rounds, there is a gunshot you will hear somewhere close to 9 o'clock, if I remember correctly. And so, don't be surprised by that, and don't report it, because that's a normal thing to have happen. So. Mike Wood, he is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe, sir, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.